Raised Sports is a proud member of the Storyhanger Podcast Network. For more information, go to storyhanger.com. Hello, everyone. This is Bob Harkins, creator and host of Raised Sports. The episode that you're about to hear is kind of special to me because while you'll hear my voice as usual as narrator, the real work was done by Eric Galindo, a talented journalist and a friend of mine. Eric is a reporter, a writer, an editor, and a documentary filmmaker in Los Angeles. This episode was really his baby, his vision. He did the research, the reporting, the writing, and all I had to do was put it together. This is important to me because it's a glimpse of what I see Raised Sports becoming in the future. As the podcast grows, I want to bring in other talented and dedicated journalists so you can hear their work and experience their vision. So this is my request to you, so you can help make this happen. Go to patreon.com/raisedsports. Become a member for as little as $1 a month. There are special benefits for members, for sure, but the real benefit is that every dollar donated will go right back into the podcast, giving other great journalists the chance to share their visions and tell stories that are important to them. That's my pledge to you. Thank you. Now on with the show.
For 20 years, I was addicted to pharmaceuticals since 1996 at San Diego State when I blew out my knee for the first time. Had to keep taking how much I could stand. And they all made me high, and they all made me stupid, and they all tried to kill me. I was in desperate need of relief, and cannabis saved my life.
For decades now, football has been America's favorite sport. We love its athleticism, its speed, its grace, and if we're being honest, we also love its violence and its brutality.
He hasn't moved since he took that hit.
The players are modern-day gladiators, sacrificing their bodies for every yard of Coliseum turf.
Once again, a violent collision. This one's head-to-head.
They get dinged up, they get their bells rung, and then they shake it off and get back out there, all for our entertainment.
Are you not entertained?
But it is becoming increasingly apparent that there is a price to be paid for this entertainment, long-term effects that can dramatically impact the lives of both the athletes and their loved ones.
People need to know that the human brain is a post-mitotic organ. It doesn't have any reasonable capacity to cure itself of injuries.
Welcome to Season 1 of the Raised Sports Podcast, in which we'll tackle the issue of concussions and CTE, brain trauma in the sport of football.
He took a vicious hit. He's still down, hasn't moved.
What does it all mean for the health of the athletes, these modern-day gladiators?
I don't know how you take this out of the game of football. I don't know if there's anything you can do.
And how will our growing knowledge of the issue impact the future of the sport itself? In the long run, is it all worth it?
Atwater just killed Randy Hilliard.
Episode 6, Cannabis Saved My Life. Junior Seau, Ken Stabler, Dwight Clark, Frank Gifford, Aaron Hernandez. There have been numerous publicly disclosed confirmations of CTE in the brains of deceased NFL players, many more in high school and college, and the list only grows longer over time. The NFL has paid out millions in lawsuits, millions more in research for safer equipment, new concussion protocols, rules, doctors, lawyers, engineers, all looking for a way to stem the tide of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, all looking for a way to avoid the seemingly obvious solution that the game as we know it has to change dramatically. But maybe it doesn't have to change that much at all. Maybe it just needs to change in one major way. According to retired NFL Pro Bowler Kyle Turley, the NFL's strict anti-marijuana policy is preventing athletes from getting desperate relief from a variety of afflictions, including insomnia, painkiller addiction, and even traumatic brain injury. Kyle Turley spent nearly a decade in the NFL with the Saints, Rams, and Chiefs, all on the offensive line where every single play involves a physical collision between the league's biggest and toughest. Each down is a symphony of grunts, shoulders colliding, and helmets crashing. Oh.
the NFL when I got in late 90s, early 2000s was the Wild Wild West. I mean, there was so much money. The TV contracts were exploding. Football had just become the number one sport in the country. But as far as control or rules, or regulations, or anything like that, it was unrestricted.
The quarterback is arguably the most vulnerable to big hits, but it's a lineman who take and dish out the majority of them. Kyle is actually pretty well known for one incident in particular, in which he protected his quarterback, Aaron Brooks, when both were with the New Orleans Saints. On the play in question, Brooks runs with the ball, and as he's leaning for the first down, Jets safety Damian Robinson hits him, grabs his face mask, and bends him backwards. Kyle sees this and rushes to rescue his quarterback, charging Robinson. They both crash down to the ground in the middle of a pile of bodies. There's a struggle. The refs get in there, other players all trying to stop Turley from ripping off Robinson's head. Kyle eventually emerges from the pile, helmetless himself, blonde hair flowing over his shoulders, and holding Robinson's helmet in both hands before flinging it across the field. Unfortunately, in Kyle's case, Beethoven became Wagner. In a way, it mirrored his career. Pain and injury transformed him as a person, changing his life for good.
Vertigo and very extreme migraine headaches that started around my rookie year. And those started to escalate. I have a record, as most football players do, of concussions. And those have a lot of damage that neurologically gets created because of those.
Turley soldiered on, though, like all the other what he calls warriors on the field. He just found ways to numb the pain, like many players did, without dealing with it in any real constructive, healthy way.
After every game, there was two beers in your seat of the plane, and they were handing out Vicodins and muscle relaxers, and it was and before me, the eras before me, those guys, they all said there was cocaine in the locker room all the time, all kinds of pills and everything just around. That's how the NFL was. The game was founded upon violence and being a warrior, and rooms of battle and getting prepared for that are not for the faint of heart. Or I don't know why people expect so much more.
The constant, violent symphony ended Turley's NFL career in 2007. He played 109 games in a 10-year stretch and walked away with a slew of brain-related illnesses, along with an addiction to painkillers.
I mean, pharmaceuticals especially, 10 to 12 pill addiction every day. And I took those on prescribed use, but I couldn't stop, ever. Tried, couldn't. Had to keep taking how much I could stand. And they all made me high, and they all made me stupid, and they all tried to kill me.
When he was 34, Turley was diagnosed as symptomatic of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and just a few years ago, with early onset Alzheimer's. He's only 43 years old. Kyle said his symptoms, combined with the major side effects of the pharmaceuticals, led to incidents of mental anguish, much like the kind that tormented Junior Seau. Seau would ultimately find it all too much to deal with, and he took his own life in 2012. Turley understands what Seau went through because he battled those very same demons.
Lives in my shoes and understands what it's like to deal with a brain that has been damaged, understands this life. I can't explain this to anyone or articulate it other than, how many times can I tell you I've called suicide hotlines, and then I get questions of, so like was it like real bad suicidal thoughts? Like, I'm sorry, I don't know what it's like to commit suicide, but I know what it's like to have a gun in your hand and intent to end your life, and also have intent to jump off buildings and things like that that are very serious. And so I don't know how to really articulate that any further, and that I've lived in 14 houses in 15 years being married to my wife, and this is the first house that I've not broken everything in my house.
There are a couple of things to point out here when Kyle is talking terms like CBD, THC, cannabinoids. Cannabis, or marijuana, is composed of two major components: cannabinoids, more frequently referred to as CBD, and tetrahydrocannabinol, known as THC. There are many similarities in both, but one major difference. The THC is the part that makes you stoned. So CBD can be administered, for example, to treat traumatic head injuries without getting the user high. But for the purposes of this discussion, CBD, etc., they're all interchangeable for cannabis or marijuana. One other thing to note is that Kyle found marijuana while he was still playing in the NFL in the locker room, where a fellow player suggested he start using it. Up until that point, Kyle had never smoked, but he was also on a strong batch of prescription painkillers for his entire career. It wasn't until he gave up the painkillers that he started to feel, ironically, less pain.
When I gave all those up, I stopped having all of these depressive bouts that would drive me to thoughts of suicide and all these other things. And so these things are very real on those bottles. And no matter, in prescribed use only, prescribed use, there are 115 Americans that will die today. They prescribe these medications knowing they have a death rate. Cannabis has killed zero people in the history of the world. And that's where I come in here with the CBD and all these things about the need for it in sports, because that's what I truly believe, is that cannabis will resolve all of these problems. We won't have these head injury deaths in youth football. We won't have all of these addicted players when they end their careers. And these statistics, furthermore, that are plaguing our community, creating all of this concern and drama that has driven the change of the game. It didn't have to happen if marijuana, cannabis, was included, period.
Kyle believes cannabis not only saved his life, but that it helped him become himself again, helped him become a husband again. He's a father, has his own CBD business called NeuroXPF that offers a THC-free cannabis oil. Remember, the THC part is the part that makes you high in the traditional sense. NeuroXPF brands itself as extreme performance fuel, even while noting on its website that the FDA does not allow CBD companies to say anything about the benefits of its product. But Kyle, like numerous other ex-football players, including Nate Jackson, Eben Britton, Derek Morgan, and Nick Lowry, are sold on the positive impact of CBD.
And that's only because of cannabis and what I know about it and how it has changed my life, saved my life, and is allowing me to be a husband, to be a father, to be a productive member of society, to create businesses and continue to push forward and not succumb to this disease.
Hello, friends. Baba Harkins taking a moment to tell you once again about our friends at Cool Fire Studios, a wonderful graphic design, printing, and art studio. If you need a t-shirt, business cards, posters, anything to make a splash, Cool Fire Studios artists can make something special just for you. We're not talking about just slapping logos on shirts. We're talking about really cool and unique artwork, which you can see a great example of by taking a look at our official Raised Sports t-shirts over on the website. So check out Cool Fire Studios. That's cool with a K. CoolFireStudios.com. Now back to the show. Kyle still loves the game. He even coaches the offensive line at Riverside City College. And he doesn't think it's ever going to change, not the violence of it anyway. Kyle even thinks that if he had used marijuana sooner and more frequently, he would have prolonged his playing career.
100%. It's the greatest game in the world. It will never go away. Anybody who's ever played it will continue to pass that game down to their children, and those will risk it still, no matter what, because of the money, period. And when you have the amount of money that they're parading around, it becomes now a blood sport, and maybe it will, and it'll get out of high schools, and it'll be all that, but it'll still happen. It'll be more like WWE, likely. Nothing greater than this sport. There's nothing greater than this game. And if I have what I have now and found in cannabis, and I was able to take that back with me, I would likely just be retiring. And I would have played 20 years in the NFL.
Kyle is counting on the commercialization of marijuana to save the game he loves. 33 states now have medical marijuana, including 10 in the District of Columbia that allow recreational use. Marijuana is still a banned substance under federal law, but recent reports have giant names like CVS, Coca-Cola, and some beer companies, including Molson Coors, linked to exploring the cannabis market. Imagine that, weed beer. And Turley asserts that the federal government is also quietly hedging its bets on the future of cannabis.
The United States government owns only one patent in the world on a substance as a neuroprotectant, and that is cannabis. While they've been telling everyone that it rots your brain or makes it look like fried eggs, cannabis is the only known neuroprotectant in the world to science. And I've discussed this with many accredited neurosurgeons. UCLA did a study of almost 500 kids, youth, not kids, but I think they said 18 to 27 or something like that. Over 500 in traumatic brain injury situations, those that had THC in their system tested positive for cannabis survived over a 90% rate of traumatic brain injuries without surgery and residual damage that ruined their life, versus over 85% or something like that of those that didn't test positive for cannabis in their system either died or were in comas or had multiple brain surgeries.
The UCLA study that Kyle is talking about occurred in 2014. It looked at 446 cases of traumatic brain injury and screened for the presence of THC. The overall mortality rate in the study was about 10%, but among those that contained THC, the mortality rate was only about 5%, compared to 11.5% for those without. This led researchers to state that a positive THC screen is associated with decreased mortality rate in adult patients who sustain a traumatic brain injury. In addition to keeping tabs on scientific studies, Kyle is also the founder of the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition, a marijuana policy advocacy group, and he mentors football players who are going through similar issues that he went through. Like I said before, there are plenty of other NFL players who are cannabis advocates. For guys like that, and for guys like Kyle Turley, marijuana is the hope that CTE and other brain ailments can at least be a little bit more manageable in the future.
All of my guys, I just try to tell them, continue to understand cannabis. It will change your life. You'll be able to change your life today, get off all of those pills. It will get you your tiger blood back boiling in your body. You'll start to achieve your things that you wanted to achieve in life again, and become you again. And that's the most important thing that people need to understand, is that it's not all lost. It's all still there, and you just have to ignite it again. And that is through your cannabinoid system.
Thanks for listening to the Raised Sports Podcast. You can follow Kyle Turley on Twitter, where he is pretty active, at Kyle Turley. And learn more about his CBD company at neuroxpf.com. Music credits for this show. We have a clip from Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, from Wagner's Ride of the Valkyries, as well as a track from Nocturnum. The theme song comes from DL Sounds. This episode was reported and written by Eric Galindo. Check him out on Twitter at E-R-I-C-K-G-E-E-E. And the show was edited and produced by me, Bob Harkins. Want to support this show? Join our membership club at Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you can receive special benefits, and your donations go directly to helping us grow the podcast so we can share the voices of talented journalists like Eric. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.